Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, January 4th, 2016. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
Hey, man. It goes, it's CES, woo!
It is. We are on location at CES.
We are, yes.
And yeah, we're going to be here all week long, which is really cool.
We're side by side.
We actually are. There's no glass between us today.
There's no glass between us today, which is highly unusual for us.
It is. But, you know, once a year, we get to do this whole thing where we don't have the glass between us.
It used to be twice a year.
I know. Now it's only once a year.
I has a sad, too.
Yeah.
But here we are. We are here for CES, and it's going to be an exciting, busy week. I think Tom Schultz, Chicago, or someone's here this week.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about CES in a minute, but I want to let everyone know we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Casper, the mattress company. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about them, I'm going to let you know how I have a newfound appreciation for Casper mattresses. But before we get there, Brian, you found a really interesting story about Microsoft.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? So it turns out that, first of all, shock. I want everybody to make sure they're sitting down.
I'm sitting.
Because this is going to be a shocker. It turns out that, was it thousands? We just read this.
Thousands.
Thousands of Hotmail users were hacked probably by the Chinese government. Back in what, 2011, starting in 2009 to 2011.
Right. 2009 right? through 2011.
Right. So that's the shocker, first of all, is that Hotmail got hacked. But the actual, and this isn't easy, this, you know, honestly, to me, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this. The other non-shocker is that Microsoft didn't tell the people that were being hacked by the Chinese government for political reasons, didn't tell them that they have been compromised.
And when I read that, I had to go back and read it again because I was certain I had misread.
Yeah. And you didn't.
No, I didn't. I was appalled.
But here's the thing. We really probably shouldn't be. Microsoft has long had a policy of putting the government in front of its users and putting corporate IP holders in front of its users.
Well, no, I think it's okay for me to be appalled. I shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, fair enough. I will accept the mostly pedantic distinction.
I bow to your mostly pedantism.
But I think it'd actually be pedantry. That's just mostly pedantic.
Mostly pedantic.
Yeah. long history of not putting its users first, and it's one of the reasons why I was always tense with Microsoft back when Microsoft was still a thing. And it's still a big company, but you know, really, Microsoft isn't really a thing anymore.
Not like they were. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still a thing, but they're not the thing.
No, but I cannot imagine the decision. Actually, what was that one paragraph? So the story was from Business Insider.
Right. And let me see if I can find that paragraph.
What's why they said, actually, we should probably attribute that properly. Right.
That's it. I'll let you read it, Brian.
One of the reasons, this is reporting from Business Insider, one of the reasons Microsoft executives gave internally in 2011 for not issuing explicit warnings was their fear of angering the Chinese government. Two people familiar with the discussions said. So, admittedly, it's double-sourced. But Microsoft has never, like, opted to favor doing the right thing.
No, it makes it really difficult to feel comfortable trusting Microsoft.
Yeah, I don't trust Microsoft. I don't. I never have, this certainly makes me want to continue that practice.
Yeah, it's reading this. Well, you actually watched me read this.
I did. Well, and I was reading over your shoulder too,
which was kind of exciting. But yeah. But you could actually see the physical reaction I was having,
yes,
as I was reading.
Yeah, it's just so I can't, you know. But they did this, like, you know, China gave Microsoft, told Microsoft they had to censor with Bing.
And so they did.
And so they did. You know, Google did the right thing. Google pulled out of China and did a little sort of workaround and started rerouting Chinese Google traffic to the version that was in Hong Kong, which will probably eventually be subject to the same sort of censorship. Eventually.
Right. And then they'll have to decide what they want to do next.
Yeah.
But
Google did the right thing. For all of my issues with Google's business model, Google did the right thing there. And Microsoft didn't. And here's another instance where Microsoft didn't do the right thing. And that's not even looking at all of the various times when they have chosen to protect IP, intellectual property owners, supposed rights over the rights of consumers to actually, you know, like, use content. And I don't know, man. I don't like it.
Part of the problem I have with this is that Microsoft is aware that at least some of the people being targeted in this hack were people that could be considered, like, enemies of the Chinese state.
The Chinese government considers them
enemy. And
in reality, they're people that are often simply protesting fair treatment. So basically, there were two particular ethnic minorities that were targeted. One was Tibetans, and then I can't pronounce the other word.
And I'm not even going to try.
It's the
World Uyghur Congress.
Sure.
Which I probably completely mispronounced it, but I did it with confidence.
Yeah, it's a minority group I believe, mostly Islamic in China. And China has been, you know, suppressing them, repressing them, I should say, for oppressing them, even. There we go.
Yeah, oppressing.
Yeah.
I'm glad you were finally able to work your way there.
Thank you. Oppressing them for a very, very, very long time. Same with Tibet, of course. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
But, you know, knowing that people that the Chinese government considered enemies of their state were being targeted and monitored, and Microsoft is aware of this, and they did nothing. No warnings, nothing.
No, they did. They made them reset their passwords.
Yes, but this was after a few years.
Yeah, that's right. So they made them reset their passwords, didn't tell them why they were making them reset their passwords. And according to third-party security people who were cited by Business Insider, at that point, many of those people already had vulnerabilities that had been exploited on their computers. So the Chinese spies were probably watching them type in the new passwords.
So then they had the new password too.
Yeah.
Well done, Microsoft.
Well done, Microsoft. Yeah, it's really, really shameful.
It is. And at the risk of going hyperbolic here, my feeling is if someone that was hacked ends up dead or in prison after all this, Microsoft gets to share some of the responsibility.
Yeah. And we don't know specifically. I'm guessing that there are people who are either dead or in prison, and as a result of this, maybe not the dead. Don't really know. Don't really have any evidence. It's pure speculation.
Yeah, but this is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that I really hope that the press runs with this, and the mainstream press runs with this, and I hope that Microsoft gets a huge black eye. They've supposedly changed their policy to vaguely do something that's closer to the right thing. But, you know, I'd like to see a huge apology and admission that they made the wrong choice. And admittedly, this was Microsoft under Steve Ballmer, not the current CEO.
True. Satya Nadella.
Yep.
Yeah. So, maybe under new leadership, this isn't the sort of thing that will happen again.
Well, they did change their policy.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
But, you know, that said, Brad Smith was one of the people that was involved in that decision. He's still there. He's president now. He's actually stepped up. So,
oh, yeah.
He's Microsoft's chief counsel. Is that right?
Maybe. I think
do,
so.
Do we have that thing where you can get the information from the,
let's
from
see,
the computers?
Microsoft.
Brad Smith.
Soft. Brad Smith. Look, I misspelled Microsoft, but Google is actually smart enough it figured it out. President and Chief Legal Officer. Yep.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Yep, you're right.
So, some of the same people that were involved with this are still there. And I don't know, maybe he should step down.
Yeah, maybe he should.
Yeah. Maybe he should be stepped down. Maybe he should be fired.
Yeah. At this point, I think that it's not appropriate for him to be in the position he's in.
Yeah, and if you have a Hotmail account, ditch it, because Microsoft is not a good steward of your email. I mean, you know, at least with Google's snooping through your stuff, but they're doing their darndest to keep other people from snooping. I mean,
yeah, there is that.
You know, or yeah, you know, go for Apple because
they're not going to snoop anyhow.
They're not going to snoop, and they're trying to keep other people from snooping.
Right. You may not be able to get your email all the time, but at least no one's snooping. Yeah.
That's just nitpicking.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I mentioned we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Casper, the mattress company.
Oh, I miss my Casper, Jeff.
Oh, Brian, you have no idea. Well, actually, you probably do have an idea how much I'm missing.
I have a precise idea.
All right, so Casper, they make these incredible mattresses. They're like multi layers of latex foam, so you get this really nice firmness without having it feel like a board, and it's squishy enough so that it complies with your body, but it doesn't feel like you're being sucked into an alien cocoon. It's really nice, and they just do this wonderful job with their mattresses. And I've been using one for a couple years. And I can't imagine sleeping on anything else. And yet, last night I had to sleep on a mattress in the hotel.
I saw your sleep patterns.
Yeah.
Your sleep chart.
Yeah, I use an app called Sleep Cycle to monitor my sleep patterns. And Saturday night in my bed, it was a really nice pattern. On Sunday night in the hotel bed, it looks like I'm on really rough oceans. It was bad. So it's amazing the difference my Casper mattress makes. I love it.
And the bed in our hotel is actually a fine hotel bed.
Yeah, it's a really nice bed.
But it's not a Casper. I love my Casper. I'm so tense about the idea of not being able to sleep in my Casper in general.
Yep, I get that. Yeah. Okay, so now all that awesomeness about the mattress, it gets even better because you can pick up the size that I have, the queen size, $850. And a comparable mattress is going to cost you over $1,000, easy. So really good prices, really good construction, really good quality, and what a wonderful night's sleep I get on my mattress. I really wish I had mine here at CES. But for you guys, it gets even better because if you go to their website, casper.com/TDO, you get a $50 discount. So you can pick out the mattress you want, $50 off, and free shipping also right to your door. And you can test it out and see firsthand that I'm right. They're really good mattresses. And you're just going to love it. So that's what you need to do. You need to go to casper.com/TDO and get yourself $50 off an amazing mattress, get it delivered right to your door, start sleeping better right away, and then you'll be able to appreciate just how sad Brian and I are that we don't have our Casper mattresses here with us at CES.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor. All right, Brian, since we're here at CES, we should get people up to speed, I suppose, on what's going on and what we're looking for here at the show.
Okay.
All right, so I'll start. First, if you're not familiar with CES, it is the biggest consumer-related electronics showcase in the United States.
Called the Consumer Electronics Show.
Not anymore.
It's not? It's just CES?
It's just CES International. It's weird. But the initials at one point in history stood for Consumer Electronics Show.
And the show is bigger than all consumer electronics these days. So
that's true, because you get to see technology for cars.
Yep.
So we'll get to see potentially CarPlay, Apple's CarPlay.
Yeah, with Ford, because Ford announced support for CarPlay, official support for CarPlay.
Yeah, so that's going to be across their product line, which is new, because no one else has done it across the product line yet.
Right. Once again, by the way, making Apple one of the top discussions.
Yes.
At CES, a show that they don't attend.
Yep, that's so Apple. Yep. Yep. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening with HDTV. I know John Martellaro is really excited about that.
Yes, I'm thinking about not checking out any TVs just to get him antsy. No, I won't do that.
Yeah. Health and fitness technology. That was a big thing last year. I think it's going to be a big thing again this year.
Well, it's going to be really interesting to see. Now, so last year everybody was talking about Apple Watch. It had been shown.
Right.
But it hadn't been released yet.
Right.
And it was everywhere. It was being talked about everywhere, right?
Right. Every company would show off their product and then say, oh, and it'll have Apple Watch support.
Or not. Or, you know, actually, because there were several companies that didn't.
Right. But there was a trend of companies.
Here's why ours is better.
Apple Watch was the underlying theme.
Yes, Apple Watch was the underlying theme. Well, now, since then, we've had 9 months of Apple Watch. It's probably the best-selling wearable technology, wearable computing, outside of fitness dedicated devices, right, in history.
I think that's a fair thing to say.
But because Apple hasn't released numbers, there's still kind of a shadow over it. So it's going to be interesting to see what Apple Watch's presence will be at the show this year, because it's the first show after the device shipped.
Right. And I know the number of people I've seen so far in Vegas wearing Apple Watches is high. Mm. However, I have to keep in mind, this is all in the subset of CES people that I know. So right. People that are more likely to be wearing Apple Watch.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but I'm curious to see how many people outside of that core group are wearing Apple Watches and how many companies are hyping Apple Watch.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also going to be interesting to see the ways in which people are trying to differentiate themselves, continue to differentiate themselves from Apple Watch. So, I mean, you know, I mean, I think it's fair to say, with no partisanship, I think it's fair to say that at this point, Android Wear smartwatches are and also ran at best.
Yeah, they had their chance before Apple Watch came out. And the game just changed the day that we could put an Apple product on our wrist.
Yeah, and they were still not. But even before that, they weren't selling, and after that, they're not selling. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing the industry's reaction now that we've had a few months with this thing out there in the wild.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. All right. Are there any other things that you're interested in checking out?
So the connected home stuff?
Yes, I'm very interested in that as well.
Home automation that had a pretty significant footprint last year.
And this year, HomeKit is actually a thing. Well, okay. HomeKit technically is a thing this year.
You're missing me make a face that Jeff saw.
Right. Yeah, more that we get when we don't have the glass between us. Last year, HomeKit was still in beta, and everything we were shown came along with a disclaimer. Keep in mind, this is still beta.
Yes, and since then, Apple just seems to have kind of dropped the ball on HomeKit. So, you have HomeKit, and then you have all of the other things out there, too. And I'm thinking we're going to see a lot of stuff this week dealing with home automation And I can't wait to get a feeling about where it's going.
Yep. I'm really excited about that too.
And we're doing so. This afternoon is CES Unveiled. Is that right?
I believe, yeah, CES Unveiled. Yes.
So that's the pre-show before the show, open only to the press. It's sort of like a mini trade show within this broader context of the bigger show. Smaller booths, you know, a lot more intimate.
Right, but focused on what the media needs to know,
right,
as opposed to what buyers need to know.
Right, because that's the thing about CES. CES is designed for retailers and distributors and press, and we are probably not the number one thing there for most companies.
Right, but at the special events, it's all about making sure we get the information we need.
Right. So anyway, we're going to be seeing a bunch of stuff tonight, and that's going to be our first really good indication about what's going on.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that, and looking forward to reporting back with what we find, and hopefully the timing will work out tomorrow. We'll be able to have Dave Hamilton with us, and John Braun is here too. So we'll have him in the show at some point this week as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
we will.
Yep. And it's going to be a great week.
Yeah.
So with that, Brian, we are out of time.
Dig it.
I'm so glad that we were able to take over your room today for this. Brian's room has become the TDO mobile studio.
It's got Couch Central.
Yes, it has Couch Central. And listeners, I am so glad that you are here today and will be with us this week. Let me know what you're interested in checking out at CES, and we will be your proxy. And it's a big show. There's a lot of stuff. We may not be able to get to everything, but we will do our best. And you can hit me up on Twitter. That would be TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. You can leave comments in the show notes. We'll be checking all those places for your feedback. And Casper, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to casper.com/TDO and pick yourself up an awesome mattress for $50 off. We will see everyone again tomorrow.